Welcome to Music History Monday for February 11th, 2019. I'm Bob Greenberg, and the title for today's podcast is The Right Composer at the Right Time and the Right Place. On February 11th, 1843, 176 years ago today, Giuseppe Verdi's opera I Lombardi alla Prima Crociata, The Lombards of the First Crusade, received its first performance at the Teatro La Scala in Milan. It was the 29-year-old Verdi's fourth opera. His third opera, the monumentally successful Nabucco, as in Nebuchadnezzar, King of Babylon, which had premiered just 11 months before, in March 1842, had put Verdi on the Italian opera map. I Lombardi secured his position on that map. As an unnamed critic wrote in his review of I Lombardi in the Gazzetta di Milano, quote, "We would just say that if Nabucco created this young man's reputation, I Lombardi has served to confirm it," unquote. The reputation to which the critic refers was not just Verdi's standing as a composer, but his growing status as a hero of the Risorgimento, the movement that would eventually see Italy achieve nationhood. Verdi was indeed the right composer at the right time and the right place, and therein lies a remarkable story. Risorgimento means rising up again. Verdi lived the bulk of his life during the so-called Italian Risorgimento, a period that saw the Italian people rise up again to achieve cultural renewal and nationhood. Running from the Italian conquests of Napoleon in 1796 to the unification of Italy in 1870, the Risorgimento was, for Verdi, an essential spiritual influence in his life. Background. Between 1800 and 1808, much of the Italian peninsula was invaded and annexed by Napoleonic France. Napoleonic Italy collapsed like an undercooked souffle in 1813, the year of Verdi's birth. An interesting historical tidbit. Verdi was born in the village of Leroncole in the Duchy of Parma and Piacenza. At the time of his birth, the duchy was still part of the French Empire, and as such, Giuseppe Fortunino Francesco Verdi was born a French citizen. The Italians themselves had nothing to do with the defeat of our little Corsican friend, and as a result, Italy's fate was left to the Allies who did in fact defeat France, Austria, Britain, Prussia, and Russia, who met at the Congress of Vienna in 1815. The Congress chose to slice up the peninsula like a pizza margherita into a hodgepodge of states controlled primarily from abroad. The big winner was Austria, which outright annexed the northern states of Lombardy and Veneto and took control of the rich lands of Tuscany and Modena. Among the very few things the diverse population of the Italian peninsula had in common was their growing mutual hatred for the Austrians. At the same time, heroes were emerging, writers and politicians who believed that their calling was to build a sense of Italian pride, nationalism, and self-awareness. In doing this, no single individual was more important than Giuseppe Mazzini, 1805 to 1872. And for our information, Verdi's beard, grown in his late teens, was a Mazzini-style beard, and no Italian looking at Verdi would have failed to recognize Verdi's furry imitation of, and therefore sympathy with, this great Italian patriot and revolutionary. As a young man, Mazzini had studied literature and philosophy, and he became involved in revolutionary politics in his 20s. While in exile for those activities in Marseille, he founded a secret society called Giovine Italia, meaning Young Italy, which campaigned for Italian unity under a republican government. Mazzini was a tireless traveler and revolutionary propagandist. He returned to Italy in 1848, and in 1849, he was one of the leaders of the short-lived Roman Republic. When that revolution failed, he fled abroad once again. Back in Italy, he was condemned to death in absentia. Two other great Italian leaders emerged from the revolutions of 1848 and 1849, Giuseppe Garibaldi and Victor Emmanuel. Garibaldi, a protege of Mazzini, proved himself to be a military leader of genius and would go on to become the single most popular of all the Italian heroes of the Risorgimento. Victor Emmanuel would become the first king of a united Italy, reigning from 1861 to 1878. These, then, are some of the people and events that shaped Verdi's world, his consciousness, and his sense of self. As a resident of Milan, Verdi had to answer constantly to the Austrian overlords, and despite the constant attempt by Austrian censors to moderate Verdi's librettos, the operas he composed in the 1840s became rallying cries for the Risorgimento. For example, Verdi's opera Nabucco was composed in 1841 and premiered at Milan's La Scala on March 9, 1842. Based on a libretto by Temistocle Solera, 1815 to 1878, it tells the story of a great and virtuous people, the people of Israel, enslaved by the evil and soulless Babylonians following the destruction of the first temple in Jerusalem, circa 500 BCE. It didn't take degrees in quantum mechanics for the Italian audiences to realize that the Israelites represented themselves, and the Babylonians, the Austrians. The climax of the opera is the gorgeous and melancholy Chorus of the Hebrew Slaves, entitled Va pensiero sull'ali dorate, which means go, thought, on golden wings. Va pensiero became the anthem of the Risorgimento, and to this day, it is considered Italy's other national anthem. To this day, when it is performed in Nabucco, audiences weep and go wild, and traditionally, it is encored on the spot. I Lombardi, which received its premiere in Milan 176 years ago today, is about the Lombards, that is, the Milanese, of the First Crusade, and their attempt to liberate Jerusalem from the Saracens, a term used by Christian writers to identify Arabs and Muslims. Based on a poem by the Milan-based writer Tomasi Grossi, the libretto for I Lombardi was written as well by Temistocle Solera, who had written the libretto for Nabucco. Like Nabucco, I Lombardi was a political bombshell. As expected, the members of the La Scala audience, the Lombards of Milan, instantly identified with the Lombards of the opera. The villainous occupiers of the Holy Land, the Saracens, were immediately identified with the Austrian occupiers of Lombardy. When at one point the tenor portraying the heroic crusader Arvino sang, La Santa Terra oggi nostra sarà, the Holy Land will be ours today, the ecstatic La Scala audiences would join the chorus by shouting, Si, si, guerra, guerra, yes, yes, to battle, to battle. Eugenio Montazio, writing in La Rivista di Firenze in 1847, just 4 years after the premiere of I Lombardi, attempted to explain the enthusiasm for the opera displayed by the citizens of Milan, quote, the plot, if not so grand as that of Nabucco, was perhaps even more popular, more loaded with passion, and more likely to satisfy the local pride of the Lombards. The libretto offered Verdi a vehicle for showing his listeners new aspects of himself, for it contains Christian and pagan elements, the love of one's country, the passions of vengeance and religion, the most exquisite feelings in human nature, unquote. E. Lombardi was already well into rehearsals when the Austrian authorities finally got around to reacting to its libretto. The police sent a notice to Verdi, the librettist, Themistocles Solera, and La Scala director Bartolomeo Morelli, that the opera could not be performed unless major changes were made to its libretto. Verdi simply refused, telling Morelli and Solera, quote, "The rehearsals are well along. The opera is going well, and my position is this. I will not change a word or a note. It will be performed as it is, or it will not be performed at all," unquote. The authorities blinked first, deciding that the risk of canceling the opera just days before its premiere was greater than the risk of not canceling it. And so the opera went on, and the Milanese audience loved it. And then the church blew a gasket. Here's why. At the end of the third act of the opera, a Muslim prince named Oranti is mortally wounded. Just before he dies, Oranti converts to Christianity with the help of Giselda, the daughter of the Christian hero Arvino, and a nameless Christian hermit. Let me say that again. A Christian virgin converts and baptizes a Saracen on the opera stage. Oh, goodness. The Archbishop of Milan had a cow, claiming that to show baptism, a sacrament, on an opera stage was nothing less than blasphemy. Verdi just shrugged and probably smiled a bit too, because he understood correctly that this sort of institutional outrage assured that many more rear ends in that many more theater seats. Giuseppe Verdi was not just the greatest composer of Italian language opera during the 19th century. His career constitutes one of those all too rare confluences of artistic temper, time and place, of a great artist living in extraordinary times, whose work not only mirrors and bears witness to those times, but actively helps to shape them as well. Verdi's operas were as responsible for creating the preconditions for Italian nationhood as were the writings of Mazzini, the military exploits of Garibaldi, and the political leadership of Victor Emmanuel. For lots more on the life and operas of Giuseppe Verdi, I would humbly direct your attention to my 32-lecture Great Courses survey, The Operas of Verdi, which can be examined and downloaded from my website at robertgreenbergmusic.com. Thank you.